see, we got a whole bunch of fans in our audience tonight. Huh. Well, I come all the way from Philadelphia tonight to have a little chat with y'all. I wanted to tell you a story about when I was growing up in a little town called Oil City, Pennsylvania. And every day I live in this dirty little town, it was always gray.
Spears, Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz. This evening, our guests are uncertain. Councilmember Scott Kennedy has scheduled 3 times and canceled 3 times. Most recently this afternoon, but there is still hope. Reportedly, he is in a meeting at the Homeless Community Resource Center and may be coming here later in the show. We run from 6 to 8, so stay tuned. We're not going to wait for Scott Kennedy. We're not going to wait for anyone here. The issues are pressing. And we'll be talking about basic civil rights for the community and for the poor, specifically regarding police misconduct, homeless issues, and with a particular focus on the beach flats. Stay tuned. Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, here in Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Robert Norse, also known as Bathrobes Pierre Robert, for the bathrobes I wear in political protests, dramatizing the right of homeless people to be in public spaces, to be able to sleep at night without arrest, to be able to live like the rest of us. Hence, Bathrobes Pierre. For 2 hours, from 6 to 8 every Thursday, I speak and try to bring to you other speakers on issues of homeless civil rights and general issues of community interest that impact particularly low-income people. This evening, I had hoped we would have a especially important show, a debate between City Council member Scott Kennedy and a number of other members of the community. Keith Sugar, environmental justice attorney, was to be first in the lineup to talk with Scott on basic issues. He was going to cover the beach flats. Then we were going to have David Silva discussing broader issues of redevelopment in Santa Cruz, possibly police misconduct, possibly some homeless issues, certainly the issue of Pelton Street. And of course, this is an open radio show. We invite you to call in. We have a phone number even now. You can hustle to your phones and kind of get on the line. We can only take one caller at a time, but we would be happy to hear from you if anything we're saying strikes a spark with you, or if we perhaps aren't striking a spark and should be. The call-in number here at Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM is 423-5361. 423-5361. Looks like even before we've begun the show, a caller is calling in. Let me say again, the theme of the show is progressive politics, lost, strayed, or stolen. And we're considering Scott Kennedy because he is sort of the archetypal progressive politician, began and as a very liberal politician, and then he seems to have gone a different way. But we actually have a guest in the studio I'm about to introduce as soon as I take this first call. She graciously agreed to rush down because Keith Sugar is himself attending his grandfather in the hospital. And so he's really, an additional crisis for him has come up. We are going to play a selection from Keith Sugar shortly, but before we do, let's take this caller. Well, call again. I know you were patient ringing in for a while. That's going to happen. You're going to have to kind of hang on the line for a while before we get to you, because we kind of have to juxtapose and juggle around a number of things. Let me get my guest to move a little closer to the mic here and introduce herself. Hi,
my name is Catherine Gunderson. I'm a local Santa Cruz City resident. I'm a teacher in the area. I've lived too close to the boardwalk now for almost 20 years.
Catherine, how did you hear about this show?
Somebody in the Beach Area Working Group, which I'm a member of, called me and told me that Scott Kennedy was going to be on with Keith Sugar, and I thought that was mighty brave of Scott, and thought that was a great opportunity to call in, and then I heard that he wasn't going to be on, so I was invited to come in myself. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Again, the focus of this discussion that I'm trying to kind of get together here, it has to do with, it's not simply Scott Kennedy that is at issue here. In fact, it's not Scott Kennedy at all as an individual. It is rather the so-called progressive majority on the city council that seems to be engaging in a series of actions which I interpret as taking quite an alarming direction. A beach flats giveaway to the Seaside Company, shelter scarcity and sleeping bans being maintained for the homeless, the uprooting of the homeless garden project at Pelton Street, the development of Santa Cruz at the expense of people living here already, the failure to follow a basic political process here. And I think that I have followed Scott Kennedy's political career for the last decade around homeless rights issues and seen it get worse and worse. And as I see a similar kind of deformation happening around development issues, I hope that eventually the people watching this, who had previously given support to Kennedy and Rotkin and Matthews and Hernandez and voted him in, just, you know, shutting their eyes and holding their nose and voting the scan ticket, will understand that something else has to be done, and done quickly. That's my agenda, frankly. I'll lay it out there. But I hope that that agenda does not push aside or obscure. I want to illuminate what's actually going on in terms of beach flats. In fact, I'm hoping the show can be an organizing tool to help folks in the beach flats have the kind of public forum that they are being denied by the city council and by this rushed process around the EIR and the beach flats development plan. Let me ask you yourself, Catherine, have you been involved recently? You're part of the beach flats working group. Is that right? Or
I think it's called the Beach Area Working Group. It's kind of a innocuous name. We're not sure what to call ourselves. But
well, who are you? How many are you? What are you up to? What's going on with your group?
Well, usually there are around 15 of us, or maybe more, that meet. on an irregular basis, and some of us attend some meetings, some attend other meetings, but it's a precious few number of people who even know about this plan, because it has this vague title for so long called the Third Street Realignment, and so who cares about something called the Third Street Realignment? It doesn't sound like anything that you'd really want to spend a lot of time figuring out, like it wouldn't really affect anyone. But it's going to be probably, I've been in Santa Cruz since 73, and I've been in the place I'm in now since the 70s, and it's been an incredible period of growth, and I think that it's not going to be, it may be the biggest thing that's affected Santa Cruz since I've lived here in the 70s and 80s.
Hi caller, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz with Catherine Gunderson and Robert Norris.
Yeah, hi there. My name is Nick, and I also live in the area. But what I was calling about was, I was just reading here in the epicenter, about the whole Third Street realignment, was that it says here that according to Section 1428 of the city charter, any land that's located, right along a river or a river mouth is public. Is like public property, and or at least part of the public trust, and that in order for in order to develop on that land, I guess Seaside Company's been trying to do like a land swap, is what I'm gathering here from reading this, that it would have to come to, the people of Santa Cruz would have to be able to vote on it, if they want to trade this land away so they can develop on it. The city has to get a vote on it, but still, what I'm reading here is that the city council decided that they would, take public comments, but they would vote on it themselves, and all the details of the deal that was done, this land swap deal, I mean, it's like they're not saying what land they swapped to get it or anything like that.
Caller, let me pose that to our in-studio guest and see what thoughts she has on that.
Catherine?
Okay, thanks for calling. I appreciate that. That's a very intelligent question/comment. And the Seaside, I'm just like you and any other people that are curious about this whole situation, although I have been working on it a little bit more. But the Seaside Company is the major property owner in the Beach Flats neighborhood. The land banking about half of the area with more than 75 parcels and 100 units, and many of the opportunity sites and parcels in the beach area rezoned for intensive commercial and housing development are also owned by the Seaside Company. But closer to what you're talking about is the Seaside Company also holds title to two important parcels along the San Lorenzo River, which are the subject of the Critical Environmental and Public Land Trust issue. It's an 8-acre parcel along 3rd Street from the San Lorenzo Bridge to the river mouth, like you were saying, that were reclaimed from the river in 1959 by the Army Corps Engineers Flood Control Project when they put the levee in. And currently the area is paved blacktop for the parking lot and for the Seaside Company. It's right on the river, and that is a place where they want to put 125-foot tall steel roller coaster, and I believe the wooden roller coaster that's at the Seaside Company now is about 70 feet tall, give or take a few feet. And this would, I'm sure, have lights and noise and visuals that would impact the whole community so much. And to be right on our river, as well as a three-story parking lot on that same blacktop that you're alluding to, right on the river there, that the title is in question. And the State Lands Commission did write a letter not too long ago, and I read it myself, saying that the Seaside Company is not the owner of that land. I just can't believe how everything is being rushed through under the carpet. We asked for a deadline, and I mean, we asked for an extension on the public input to the draft EIR and environmental impact report in the in a city council meeting, and person in the the housing
redevelopment
agency, thank you, was humming and hawing around a lot while Catherine Byers was asking her, can't we have an extension? And Celia Scott was saying, we've had extensions on projects a lot smaller than this, but I know I've taken a long time to answer your question/comment, and if there's anything else that you're thinking of, please let us know.
Actually, something else I'm looking at here is a thing called the San Lorenzo River Enhancement Plan, which the city adopted in 1987, which was supposed to restore areas such as the river mouth over there, to reverse the trend of past destruction and increase biological, aesthetic, and other community values. And it would seem to me that putting some three-story parking garage and some gigantic roller coaster there is not exactly in line with that enhancement plan. I mean, it sounds quite the opposite, really. I can't think of anything more hideous than a parking garage on a river mouth, but,
Caller. Yeah, caller, your point is well taken. I wanted to, is there more you want to say, or can I?
No, that's all I got.
I do appreciate your calling
in. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, the original point you made, I believe, caller, had to do with the political process involved. How can the city council take a decision that the electorate, that the citizens, that the community of Santa Cruz really needs to be consulted on? And, of course, the council's answer in the Pelton Street giveaway was, fuck off. We don't care. We're going to sell the property. We don't care if you got 5,000 signatures. We'll beat you to the punch, and we'll sell it for $700,000 homes and boot out the homeless garden project. This is the same majority that is pressing to have this seaside giveaway effectuated as quickly as possible. And it's I guess, something that I guess has to be understood in the process almost of fighting it. It's sort of like there isn't much time to educate ourselves on this issue. There isn't much time to act. You have to act immediately because of what? The EIR deadline is when?
May 25th.
So that's 4 days away, folks. And what kind of things can people put into questions to the, I guess it's to the C.L. Cirillo of the what is it? The Redevelopment Agency, downtown at City Hall, that I understand they have to answer every single one of your questions. We've actually discussed this on a couple of shows, and it's been mentioned at the very, very lucid forum presented by community activist Doug Rand. And perhaps what we should do, unless you want to get into something different, Catherine, is to play a little bit of our absent guest, Keith Sugar's remarks at that forum we had a week ago. And the recording quality could be better, but he's got a booming voice. He can be heard. And I'll remind you that you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM until the FCC comes in and shuts us down, which we hope will be never. Since the airwaves are for the people and not for the corporations, as far as I'm concerned. But let's hear a little of...
Can I say just one more thing before you do that? Great. Yeah. Thank you. Caller, the person that just called, I also wanted to add on that the Seaside Company, since they are negotiating a land swap with the State Lands Commission to clear the title so that the development plan can move, their development plan can move forward, an expansion of the boardwalk and construction of this multi-level parking structure, as well as market-rate townhouses at the mouth of the San Lorenzo River, would intensify the damage to the river area and prevent river restoration from occurring. And I do watershed classes with my students all year long, and we're always looking at factors like the amount of plants and trees that are right on a river, because it's so important in so many ways to not only the fish but the whole ecosystem. And since that big cement levee is in there, and parking lots and things like that, I don't see restoration as something that is going to be happening in the near future.
I see, Catherine, you're reading from the Epicenter, which I want to remind everybody is an insert into the Santa Cruz Comic News, which very rarely gets into local issues with the depth and strength that this particular issue does around the Beach Flats so-called Third Street realignment plan. The epicenter can be found in the current issue of the Santa Cruz Comic News, which has a copy of Santa Cruz with Anta Cruz struck out and Eastside Company put in. So instead of Santa Cruz, we have Seaside Company. I invite you to pick it up. It's 35 cents, and if you can't afford it, you can take it. But the editor of the Comic News encourages you to pay for it, because that way he can reprint more easily. Let's turn now to Keith Sugar, environmental justice attorney, talking about a week ago, 5 days ago, at a forum at Loudoun Nelson Center on this subject.
My speaker is Keith Sugar, who is a local attorney, Mark Sugar. Good, now that we've got that out of the way, Bob, at least you got lunch.
You paid for his
lunch. Figured. No. My name's Keith Sugar. I'm a local environmental land use attorney, and I'm here speaking on behalf not just of myself, but of the Beach Flats Working Group and the local group of the Sierra Club. First thing I'd like to say is that there is obviously a lot of heat being generated about this plan. A lot of people are very concerned about it. A lot of people think that it is not what Santa Cruz needs at this point, and a lot of heat is being directed at the City Council and at the city. And I would like to say, if I had to bet money, I bet that the city really is trying to do the right thing. The problem is that the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency are laboring under the false assumption that Santa Cruz is a business. Santa Cruz is not a business, it's a community. And when you view it as such, you see that there are problems with the Beach Flats land giveaway, and that there are a host of environmental impacts, sociological impacts, which will ensue from this plan, that are being glossed over. Which leads one to consider, why do you withhold the adverse parts of any package? Why do you withhold disclosing that, you know, the Volkswagen you're going to buy was really almost totaled out 5 years ago and was repaired? Why do you withhold the fact that, you know, the foundation around the house you're thinking about buying, you know, was cracked and, you know, the earthquake and almost totaled and had to be repaired? It's because you don't want people to know, because maybe there's a problem there. And that's the kind of problem we're dealing with here with the Beach Flats plan. The EIR is the document that is supposed to tell us, the community, what the impacts of the plan are going to be, what the adverse impacts of the plan are going to be. Everybody from the city and from the Seaside Company steps up to the plate immediately to tell you what's right with the plan. Is there anything wrong with the plan? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've read quite a few EIRs in my life. And I can tell you that I read this one, and even being somewhat adept at reading EIRs, I can't tell you what the impacts of this project are going to be, because this EIR doesn't tell us what the impacts of this project are going to be. Now, we've been hearing a lot of talking about housing. What is the impact of this project going to be on affordable or low-income housing here? Well, let's see. The plan involves changing the zoning ordinance for that part of town. Right now, the zoning ordinance says that you have to replace 100% of affordable housing that you tear down in the course of this type of project. The zoning ordinance, as revised in the course of this plan, is going to provide that only 50% of the affordable housing needs to be replaced. Now, true, that's commensurate with what exists in the rest of the city, but if you're going to build a project as a low-income housing panacea, then why are you including a provision in the plan which allows you to only replace half when hitherto you had to replace the whole thing? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't quite ring true. We're going to be going to year-round operations at the boardwalk. We're going to be extending it by 4 acres. We're going to be building over 250,000 square feet of outlet center. No traffic impact. That's pretty good. Just beat me up, Scotty. I guess we've got transporters or something that's going to take care of it. But the EIR does not address the issue. It addresses it, but then it glosses it over and has the audacity to tell us that level of service F is good. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that, you know, where that sort of thing is happening, something is definitely wrong. Quarter million square feet of retail space, another 170 for outlet center space. Well, you know, what are they're going to call us Vacaville by the Bay, because, you know, the thing is, see, we're a community. We're not a business, and communities have to worry about a lot of things that businesses don't have to worry about. Communities have to worry about low-income housing. Communities have to worry about the integrity of communities and of neighborhoods. Communities have to worry about maintaining the character of place. Businesses don't have to worry about that. And in the name of a tax base, we're willing to cashier our future and the very character of what somebody referred to as Old Town Santa Cruz. And you have to do your own little cost-benefit analysis. What do we want? Do we want a secure tax base, or do we want to cashier the future, or is there a possibility that we can do both? The problem is that this plan is drawn in very black and white terms, and we can't tell. And part of the reason we can't tell is because the EIR is not telling us everything that we need to know to make an informed, intelligent decision about this plan. All right? The San Lorenzo River is considered one of the most important potential habitats for the rehabilitation of the endangered cobo and steelhead. What is the impact of the project, which goes cheek by jowl to the river, on this vitally important habitat? Don't know. What is the impact of this enormous project with the creation of more impervious surfaces, with the introduction of more cars dripping oil and grease on the streets, going to be on our prized Monterey Bay Sanctuary? Don't know. What is going to be the impact of a 150-foot roller coaster and a plan that allows building heights to go up by an additional 10 feet? What's going to be the impact on the views in the town where views mean everything? I don't know. What is going to be the impact on the downtown of constructing 350,000 square feet of new retail space where that new chains are going to go? No, because the EIR doesn't tell you so. So we're really, really, the problem here is that we're running to the finish line when we haven't even gotten to square one yet. We need to know what the impacts are going to be before we can rally around this plan. If somebody's not telling you the impacts, if somebody's withholding something from you, what are you going to think?
Don't know.
Right. Thank you, Phil. So, checks in the mail. So, I'll wrap it up by saying, better than objecting to this thing, better than objecting it, demand the facts. And if the city council has the audacity to tell you, you don't need to know, don't wear your pretty little heads over it, well, then maybe the city council needs a dose of reality at the polls. But, our community, this is not Charles Canfield's backyard, and we demand to know what the impacts are going to be. Thank you.
So the last speaker before we go into comments from the audience is Ruth Hunter.
And you are listening to Keith Sugar speaking at a forum on the Beach Flats, 3rd Street Realignment, Seaside Company giveaway, or as Catherine here in the studio calls it, Charlie Land.
Charlie World.
Sorry about that. The plan to give away the entire Beach Flats area to the Seaside Company in return for we're not sure what. It's not clear why this is being done. Again, my motivation in bringing up this issue has to do with looking at abuse of power and looking at failure to follow democratic process And it really may even begin to start to enter into the realm of corruption. That's not one that I can, you know, responsibly talk about. I've heard that kind of kicked around about the city council in different contexts. Our current city council majority, the current Metro, which you may have seen came out today, has a very pungent cartoon by cartoonist DeCenzo. I'm going to show it to you, Catherine.
Another good one.
Yeah, actually, he and I are almost always on the opposite sides of the fence on issues of civil rights for poor people. He seems to regard poor people as dope addicts, druggies, and lunatics who are sitting around downtown just creating problems. And that's not how I view folks down there at all. But this cartoon is really quite apropos. It's if you haven't seen it, it shows a horde of men kind of rushing into a door, led by a big man with a cigar in his mouth, at the bedside of a woman who's kind of cringing under the covers, and she is Santa Cruz. That's what's written on her. And there's a man speaking, and that's Mike Rotkin. He's saying, "Honey, these nice men are going to help us with our money problems. Okay, fellas, have your way with her." And he's holding a copy of the Santa Cruz Senile, and hugging him is Scott Kennedy. Says he's got femme tattooed on his arm or something. Yeah. And then the little boy next to them, I think it's either Rotkin or it's his arm around him, it's Kennedy. And then there's Hernandez is the little boy. Again, they're all welcoming in the developers. And of course, underneath it says the ultimate dysfunctional family. of course, it's carrying things a little far to really call these guys family members. They are people in positions of power who are making choices for the future of the city without significant input, without considering really the voices of the community or the implications of what they're doing, with their own fast-track agenda is what it looks like. And I particularly upset with this because it seems to me to fly in the face of the mandate that these people were supposedly elected under in 1994 in Kennedy's case, 1996 in the case of Matthews, Rotkin, and Hernandez. So it's certainly nice to say, let's throw these folks out at the polls. And I'm glad. I mean, I'd like to see that happen. I think what's needed, as I've said repeatedly on the air, is immediate action around this issue, whether that's a recall petitions against one or more of the council members involved, whether that's demonstrations wherever these people appear until these issues are really addressed. I mean, I had hoped that, for example, Scott Kennedy would show up here tonight. He promised to do so on three separate occasions. He scheduled. We had individuals break their schedules, arrange to be here based on his say-so, and he canceled three times. Maybe I should have known the first time better than to have him scheduled again. But you know, I think it is important that the public be allowed access in a forum where they can actually speak on the issue and not be arrested if they go over their 3 minutes, as is the case in city council. At least with me, that's been the case when I've been threatened with arrest by Rotkin and others there. So I think that it was important to have Kennedy here. But again, you know, it's always his choice, and it seems to me that he's chosen not to do this. His most recent excuse, which was phoned into me this morning, was that he had been appointed by the city council to go to a homeless community resource center board meeting at 5:30 around Community House Project. Now, I've got nothing against people attending those meetings, but surely he knew about this before, you know? I mean, surely this is no surprise, and it seems to me this is an excuse for ducking out. And again, that kind of arrogance is involved here, because there are other people who've aligned their schedules to come here and do this. People are waiting by their radios and their telephones to talk on this issue. And here's the man who just says, tough luck. But again, to me, this is very much in character with what the city council has been doing to the community. Tough luck. Here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, this is Scott Kennedy calling.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Sorry I couldn't get down there. I did intend to come in this evening.
You know, you don't sound like Scott Kennedy.
Yeah, well, I am.
Oh, good. Okay, well, what do you got to say, Scott?
I just wanted to apologize for not showing up. I was out back working on the car.
Oh, well.
And sparks came in, so my face caught fire, and a neighbor had to put it out with a rake.
Right, right. Well, do you have anything you want to say to your audience, Scott?
Yeah, I just did. And just things like that, I just would like to say that.
No. No, well, I want to thank you, Scott. Anything further?
No, thank you. Really, I mean that.
Okay.
I think our caller is going to have to work on his voice impression. Now, though I commend him on his trying to make up for the derelictions of a council member. At, you know, the man's got a responsibility to show up when he said show where he says he's going to be, and not doing so, he shows that a kind of arrogance that I think has been seen in other forums and other places, and this is the kind of arrogance that we don't want in public office, that we shouldn't have to tolerate from public servants. And that it's really important to call people on, at least to call elected officials on when it happens. Anyway, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Robert Norse, and this is Bathrob Spears Broadsides. We do a twice-weekly show, 6 o'clock on Thursdays and 11 o'clock on Sundays. We actually run a little longer on Sundays here on 96.3. Before I kind of give us another break here with... I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Ruth Hunter's speech at the Beach Flats Working Group Forum at Loudoun Nelson, and then I'm going to turn to homeless reports from San Jose and San Diego and police abuse reports here in Santa Cruz. Let me ask you, have you had any reaction to anything that's been said that we haven't covered so far that you want to speak on, Kevin?
Yes, thank you. There are a few things I'd like to say really briefly. Hope I can remember them all. I didn't come prepared tonight, but that's why I grabbed this copy of the Epicenter, which is a really great little paper. Copies of the Beach Area Plan are available from the Santa Cruz City Planning Department at 809 Center Street, but they do cost $15. But there are copies of it in the public library and at Kinko's. Also, copies of the draft EIR, Environmental Impact Report, are available for purchase at Kinko's for $17 and for review at public libraries. All comments on the draft EIR are you can send to the Redevelopment Agency. Did you give that address earlier?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 323 Church Street. That's 323 Church Street, Santa Cruz, 95060. By May 25th, that's coming right up, four more days. All other comments can be addressed to Santa Cruz City Council at 809 Center Street, Santa Cruz, and that's 95060. And you can also always find the phone number to the City Council in the phone book.
That phone number is, frankly, calling them is often useless, it's 429-3550. That's a 24-hour line, 429-3550, and you can leave a message on the line. Again, I think the important thing, as was discussed by Roxanne Aquistapache, another activist from Beach Flats area, is to get a lot of questions in about the environmental impact reports, because while city council members can and do ignore these issues repeatedly at city council, it apparently is obligatory that the report deal with each and every one of the questions raised before May 25th.
Yeah, it seems to all of us in the Beach Area Working Group that the city is more interested in selling the project to the public than really engaging us in creating a viable and acceptable proposal. Just everything I've seen points to that, and you know, as some people have said over and over again, it's a done deal after giving public input at the public input part of the draft EIR at the city council chambers, and then being, you know, I felt like we were children that had been really, really bad after we'd given our comments. And Rotkin started it out by, you know, basically telling us we were really idiots, basically. He didn't say that word idiots, but he made me feel really bad that I'd come there and commented on things like, can't we extend the draft EIR time? And there was one other thing I can't remember right now off the top of my head, but you know, a lot of the city council did the same thing, followed his suit.
Hi, are you an idiot on the line of Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Absolute them all.
Ah.
The draft EIR, a lot of people so forth are focusing on some of the things that it reveals and some of the problems and some of the sort of lack of mitigations and the unresolvable significant impacts, but I would say that one thing that's noticeable about it is this is, not only was it a biased draft EIR, this is one of the skimpiest ones we've seen for any project, and this is one of the largest projects. So I think maybe when people make their comments, they really ought to include the fact, you know, ought to ask the questions that weren't even asked by the draft EIR. It's really pretty outrageous. Okay, that's my comment.
Well, before you go, caller, I think I recognize this voice, aren't you?
No, you don't. You don't know who I am.
You're the Chinese-American Davida Silvita.
Yeah, McCowan.
I see.
Portuguese-Chinese or McCowan.
So, well, good. I'm hoping you'll join us here in the studios later.
I'm feeling a little bit better. You know, I've been nauseated all day, but I took my Compazine twice, and I feel a little bit better. I'm going to try to make it in there.
Because we expect that, you know, Scott Kennedy may come lumbering in from his meeting at some point, hopefully so.
Well, maybe we can have a love fest.
Perhaps the two of you can elucidate life and its various vicissitudes, particularly the need to have a new agenda here and one that's actually followed by so-called progressives on the city council.
Well, you know, a lot of these projects are all asking for exceptions to the general plan, not development and refinement of things within the general plan, but actually exceptions to the general plan. And this one's not alone. Also, these unresolvable significant impacts like water is not available. You know, we really have to listen to our own EIRs, you know. My God, they're very developer-leaning. They're trying to make it possible for the development to go on. And still they say, hey, we don't have the water.
Well, let me ask you this, David. You've also been concerned about, you've actually used the word corruption around the city council.
I have?
Yes, you have.
I think I've said things like, this kind of stuff, you know, can only imply corruption in people's minds.
Well, what kind, is this kind of stuff, does that phrase apply to so-called Third Street realignment, La Bahia development?
I apply mostly to things like, you know, tearing down historical homes and some of the nicest homes to expand basketball courts and change the whole image of the neighborhood into more of an inner city drug peddling Miami Vice crime joyride.
So would that be involved in the Beach Flats 3rd?
Well, whether people are in collusion, whether they're unwitting participants, or, you know, I think the goal and the result is going to be more corruption and more crime in that area. We're going to see a little Miami being built right there.
Well, I hope that you can join us in the studio and give us still more specifics on this issue.
Well, okay, I'm going to be real hard with specifics tonight. You're going to have to pull them out of me a little bit because I don't feel so hot, but I'll try. I feel like everybody's talking about what I was talking about 2 years ago, you know, so I just sort of have to refresh my memory.
Catching up with you, David.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
He did run for city council, actually.
Yeah, I'm
right. Sorry about that. So you're fondling this this commentary about the beach area plan, too much, too fast, public comment needed now. Hit it.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to say, I like I said, I didn't come prepared, so I grabbed this little paper. I wanted to say that one of the people on the Transportation Commission, Tim Fitzmaurice, is somewhat like the Lone Ranger. I went to a meeting, a week and a half ago or so, where he was really reiterating what he said in his letter to the city council, that the beach area plan focuses on increasing the parking and attracting more cars to the beach area, and the planners were instructed to reduce automobile traffic in this area through the Santa Cruz's general plan. And he says clearly they didn't accomplish those goals and they should redo the report. And it is like a cul-de-sac in that area where people who live in beach flats can't get out of their houses and can't get into their houses if they go anywhere in their cars. I know that I live on the on East Cliff Drive across the bridge, across the river from the boardwalk, and over the last 20 years I have had increasing problems with crime to myself and my neighbors on the cheap boardwalk nights on Monday and Tuesday nights, and as well as weekends, and can't park till after 11 o'clock when the boardwalk's happening. But I'm more concerned about the people in Beach Flats. I don't understand how in the plan it's fairly clear how the boardwalk, the Seaside Company, is going to really win big in this, but it's very vague and ambiguous about what the city's going to get out of it. It definitely appears unenforceable that the city would get anything from this get-together with the Seaside Company. And one of the things that I can't believe they've already done is forgiven a tax, an entertainment tax on, I'll just finish real quick here, on their arcades, I think it is, where it adds up to a lot of money, too, every year. And why just forgive them on that? I don't understand any of this.
Perhaps, caller, you can give us some enlightenment. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, is John here?
We are.
Scott Kennedy there?
Scott Kennedy canceled out, but he said he may come within the next hour.
Oh, well, listen, I got a little poem. This is Merlin.
Go ahead, Merlin.
Okay, man, it's called The Beach. I was at the beach yesterday, so I had a little inspiration. So we're on the air now, huh?
You are on the air.
All right, beautiful. Here's the poem, man. First they say no drinking, then no smoking in line. Then they hire 100 cops, while the prisoners put up 1,000 signs. They used to bust the dogs for not being on a leash. Why not bust the corporations for pouring in all the bleach? What makes them think we want or even need them? We've always done just fine. So listen, next time it's time to vote, you just might change your mind. That's it, bro.
Hey, not bad, not bad.
Not bad, huh?
Hey, Merlin. Any
even
other
clean.
What's that?
It's even clean.
It is clean. Although you can remember, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz. You can say what you think you need to say, regardless of whatever you've been trained or told to do. But Catherine thinks clean is good, no question about it.
So what's going on now that he canceled?
What's that?
What are you playing now that he's canceled?
What we're doing now is we're covering police abuse in Santa Cruz. Catherine's been covering, well, the Beach Flats redevelopment giveaway to Canfield scam that's going on down there, or Charlie World, as Catherine calls it. And what we're going to do now is we're going to play a little something from